Welcome to the Smart Plus Connected Communities Institute Learning Series. We're speaking today with Mike Galloway, the Director of City Development in Dundee, Scotland. As someone who grew up just a couple of hundred miles from Dundee, I don't remember it being a particularly progressive city. What has changed since the 1970s, and what have been some of the major milestones along the way?
I studied in Dundee at the University, Dundee University, in that period, and so I remember, I'm not a Dundonian, but I do remember Dundee of the 1970s, and it was a very different place, a much darker, grimier, much more industrial city, and, you know, we're a post-industrial city, like most cities in Western Europe, and that process of deindustrialization happened a lot later in Dundee, and therefore the changeover was much more dramatic, and we have really seen a complete restructuring of our economy away from manufacturing, partly towards service industries, but not as much as other cities like Glasgow and Edinburgh. It's been much more a move towards a knowledge economy in Dundee, based on our now two universities. Dundee University is the older of the two and more established, and Abertay is a newer university. But together they mean that we have one of the highest student population ratios of any city in Europe. And that has led to a complete restructuring of our population profile, and also great opportunities in terms of new spin-out companies from the research and knowledge base that's within those universities. So it's been a very dramatic change in terms of the economy there, but also in terms of the city's environment. You know, I say in the 70s it was sort of dark and grimy, but actually, because we're such a compact city, the potential quality of life in Dundee was always very, very high, because once we were able to smarten up the city, regenerate a lot of the historic areas, and in particular the city centre, we were able to sort of recapture our role as a regional centre in northeast Scotland. But we're also surrounded by fantastic countryside and facilities and leisure, etc., etc. And so Dundee is now being recognised as a place within Scotland where there's, you know, a thriving economy, knowledge-based, but also the potential for a very high quality of life.
Well, I was surprised to learn that Dundee is actually a hotbed of computer gaming innovation, including games like Grand Theft Auto and Lemmings. And I understand you have a program called Dare to be Digital, which is designed to encourage this. Can you elaborate on that?
The whole spike in terms of computer gaming really started as a result of Abertay University commencing one of the first university courses in computer gaming in the world. And that has been incredibly successful and attracted students internationally to Dundee. And that is still thriving. And as a result of that, we have a healthy grouping of companies who are at the cutting edge in that particular field, still in the city. What we're also trying to do is to encourage our own indigenous local youngsters to see the opportunities in the computer gaming and wider digital media sector. And through the Dare to be Digital campaign, we provide each year an opportunity for them to engage in a real process of designing a computer game. And it's a competitive process, and it's really it captured their imagination. We get very, very high participation rates, and they're working with real leaders in that computer gaming sector within the city. And very often what we find is that these young people then go on and choose that as a career and become the next cohort of computer gamers that take our industry on to the next level. So it's been very successful, and we're very committed to it. But really, the whole industry is moving on now, and what we're finding is that, you know, the company that did Grand Theft Auto have kind of broken up, and they've broken up into about 20 smaller firms, and they're each growing now, particularly focused on the app market and mobile phone market, which is really the big growth area in terms of smartphones. So it's quite interesting where these companies grow, and they grow quite large, up to 300-400 staff, and then they disintegrate and they go viral, and they grow another 20 companies out of that. Quite an interesting area of business.
So the Dare to Be Digital thing, just so I understand correctly, is that more a city-sponsored thing, or it's sponsored by this sort of partnership between city and some of the public institutions there, and then thrown wide open to all comers to participate in?
Yes, I mean, it's effectively run by my department, but we do it in partnership, and without the help of the universities and the computer gaming leaders in the city, it wouldn't work. But we put in the pump priming funding and organise the event each year, and it is totally open. And what we try and do as well is not just simply a case of saying, well, it's open, come along. We actually actively promote it within our schools, so that we're really upping the level of participation in some of the less advantaged areas of the city.
What is the city doing in the area of broadband infrastructure?
Well, across the city, we have two rival schemes for super broadband. The existing main provider in the UK is British Telecom, and they are currently upgrading their network in the city. But as well, we also have a proposal by Fiber City, and this is a proposal to put in fiber connectivity right to every home and business in the city, direct to the doorstep with fiber, no copper technology in between. And that's utilising the existing network of sewers in the city to actually run these cables, the fiber cables, through. So this network is now being rolled out, and we have, as I say, two rivals. The Fiber City proposal is a faster infrastructure than British Telecom, but we're quite happy to see them competing with one another, because it guarantees us delivery and eventual speed.
Is it unusual to use the sewer system to roll something out like that, or has that been done elsewhere?
No, it's very unusual. The only other city in the UK where it's been done is Southampton by Fiber City, and it has a huge advantage in terms of not having to go in and invest huge amounts in new ducting, but just using the existing sewers. And I think Fiber City are a company waiting to be bought over by some huge international firm, because it's a fantastic idea, and they have the IPR on it.
How far along are these broadband infrastructure efforts?
I think we're probably about 2 years away from that now. We're about a year into it, and we've got about another 2 years to go.
Now, I've heard you talk about the importance of marketing to get the Dundee story out there. Can you elaborate on that?
One of the foundations of Dundee's regeneration has been the partnership that has been developed in the city between public sector agencies and private sector interests to try and be the spark and the engine for that process of change. And a big part of that has been marketing. And there's been an ongoing campaign for Dundee for the last 20 years, and it's been, I think, very successful. Very recently, we have refreshed that campaign into One City, Many Discoveries. Previously, we were known as the City of Discovery, partly because of the universities and the knowledge economy dimension, but also because of the ship, the Discovery, which is one of the main tourist attractions in the city centre. And what we've done is to try and move that campaign on to emphasise that it's not just a single facet in Dundee, but that there are multi-strands to that theme of discovery. And we've been targeting in particular young people within the city and within the rest of Scotland and the UK to emphasise the attractiveness of Dundee as a place to study, to work and to stay. One of our remaining issues is that while we have a very high student population, what we find is that as soon as they finish their studies, we have a higher drop-off rate in terms of their retention within the city than our competitors. And so what we're trying to do, therefore, is attract as many new young people to the city and retain young people within Dundee by emphasising, you know, the standards of life that are available to them. Yes, we're being able to deliver the sort of jobs that they're looking for in the sort of areas that they have skills in, but we're also trying to match their life aspirations as well in terms of urban buzz, you know, a lively centre with the right sort of residential accommodation in a waterfront setting, but with a great, you know, nightlife and leisure pursuits, etc., etc. So this campaign is actually underway at the moment, and is trying to challenge. There's a few remaining sort of stereotype views of Dundee, particularly in the west coast of Scotland. You know, if you're from the UK, you'll know, you know, there's a sort of a Glasgow view of the rest of Scotland, and it's very out of date in terms of Dundee, and what we're in quite a forceful, if not even cheeky way, is trying to update that impression of our city in these sort of remaining bastions of ignorance.
What are the renewable energy prospects for a city like Dundee?
I mean, I think there are two dimensions to this. You know, first of all, there's what we're doing as a city to try and transfer over to renewable energy sources. We already have wind turbines within the city, one of the first urban wind turbines in the UK. In particular, we have a large tyre factory, Michelin tyre factory, which is now powered by wind turbines. And we've been very supportive of a rollout of that network across the city, and we've been successful in getting that through the planning and environmental consent systems. More recently, we have a proposal in the Port of Dundee for a biomass power plant, which would supply about two-thirds of Dundee's overall electrical needs. And that's effectively biomass material coming in by sea into the port. So therefore, you know, very sustainable in terms of transport and, you know, loading onto road networks, etc., etc. So we're working with, it's a company called Force Energy that we're working with on that. The consent procedure is currently with the Scottish Government, and we're hopeful that that will be approved later this year. We're also working very hard on ensuring that any new developments in the city meet the highest sustainability standards. You may have heard of our waterfront project. Dundee Waterfront is a huge opportunity, and we're leading on the regeneration of that area and the provision of new infrastructure. And we're also seeking the highest standards in terms of sustainability. We're working with the British Building Research Establishment to establish a sort of standards, the highest possible standards for new development as they go into our waterfront. We are also putting in infrastructure such as a district heating system powered by the waste heat from the biomass plant that I mentioned just earlier. So there's a number of initiatives underway in the city, and we're trying very much to badge our regeneration process as being, having sustainability as one of its fundamental planks. One thing just to mention is that since last May, the waterfront project has moved forward apace, and in particular, we have now secured a proposal by the Victoria and Albert Museum to build a design centre at the heart of the waterfront in Dundee. So this is a £45 million building that will actually be built out into the River Tay. The V&A in Dundee, the Victoria and Albert, is going to be our Guggenheim. So we really expect it to take us up onto the next level in terms of tourism in particular, but also in terms of the way that it acts as a national design centre. Because what we're very keen on is not just the base, the attractiveness of the city on tourism, but actually on the importance of design within business and manufacturing. We have a very high quality art college and design college within the city, and we're trying to here in the North Sea. Contracts for the development of these fields have just been let, and Dundee is ideally placed to act as a base for the manufacture of these incredibly huge wind turbines, and also thereafter, once they're operational, for their maintenance and ongoing operation. So we're developing, with the Port of Dundee, a proposal to base a number of large international manufacturers in Dundee, which will bring, we believe, in thousands of jobs to the city, certainly over the next 10 to 15 years, and then thereafter on operations and maintenance. And I think the reason why there's been such a big push in terms of offshore wind is that it's more efficient and effective, but also it's not subject to the same planning regimes which have caused difficulties for onshore wind farms, certainly within the UK.
What are some of the main challenges that still remain to be dealt with?
I think one of the main things we have to ensure is that the prospects for Dundee in terms of its economy its quality of life and its environment are extremely good. And what we need to ensure is that we avoid at all costs there being any possibility of there being two Dundees. We have remaining social issues within the city. We are, as I said, post-industrial, and therefore we still have the remnants of those societal issues when Dundee was a very industrial location, with there being, you know, a super elite and then a very large working class, and that working class becoming more and more workless. What we have to ensure is that as the city's economy improves with all these great opportunities that are developing, that everybody benefits and shares in that uplift. And therefore we're working extremely hard through, particularly through our schools, to ensure that that ripple effect reaches everybody within Dundee and beyond. We don't just simply see this as a citywide project, we see it as a regional project. And we work very closely with our adjoining authorities to ensure that everybody in the travel to work area around Dundee benefits. But in particular, we want to ensure that those areas within Dundee that still have remaining social problems, that they can actually participate in this uplift. That's our key challenge over the next 10 years.
What top three lessons learned would you like to share with other communities?
I think the first one has to be the notion of genuine partnership working. Just about every city you talk to in the world talks about the partnership, the importance of partnership. And I've worked in London, Manchester, Glasgow, and they all talk about partnership. But in actual fact, the partnership is not fully embedded in the culture, certainly, of the public sector bodies. And there can be a lot of rivalry, etc., etc., and that often gets in the way. What I find in Dundee when I arrived here was the genuine nature of the partnership between the public sector bodies and with the private sector. There were no jealousies, there was no backbiting, there was a real commitment. And I think that has been one of the reasons why we have had a higher level of success rate in Dundee. And we guard that partnership relationship very, very jealously and won't allow it to be diverted. At the root of it, however, there needs to be a very, very strong vision, and that would be my second lesson, is that there needs to be a strong, collective, shared vision. And that vision is not something that is tied to periods of political administrations or whatever. You're talking, you know, 20, 25-year visions, and really pursuing those and remaining true to them. And then lastly, linked to all of that, is leadership. Absolutely essential that we have strong, positive leadership to take advantage of those partnership mechanisms and to drive that vision through to reality and to implementation.
Thank you so much, Mike. That was Mike Galloway, Director of City Development in Dundee, Scotland. For more sustainable urban development podcasts, go to www.smartconnectedcommunities.org.